Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be back in Karatz. It's 8 months to the day since I had to tell you that I was intending to accept the call to Ballylagan. So it's been an easier experience tonight, I believe, than that one was. I appreciate the prayers of the Karatz congregation for us in the intervening time. Several of the ministers that have been taking services in Karatz have commented to me about the prayer times and how we have been remembered in your prayers, and that's much appreciated. Well, let us worship God together this evening. We do so singing praise to him from Psalm 92, the B version of the psalm. And the stanzas we sing are 5 and 6, and then 10 to 13. Psalm 92b. Stanza 6, it says about how fools do not understand that though the wicked sprout like grass, and evil men the same may flourish, yet they'll be destroyed while you, Lord, high remain. There are those who sprout like grass and who seem to prosper and flourish. And they are contrasted then later in the psalm, in the last four stanzas, 10 to 13. Stanza 11, it says, those who within the Lord's own house have been well planted will within the courts of our own God be sure to flourish still. There are those who seem to make something of life, but they are destroyed, whereas there are those who are planted within the Lord's house, and they are well planted, it says, and they will be sure to flourish still. And these words speak to us of spiritual progress. They speak to us of growth in the things of God. And they speak of continuing fruitfulness on into old age. There's nothing about fading, but there is a retaining of fruitfulness, staying fresh and green. We sing Psalm 92b. The stanzas are 5 and 6, and then also 10 to 13, and the tune is Hired number 98. We stand to sing and praise to God, and then remain standing for prayer. Let us worship him.
Thank you.
Now we speak to God in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we give thanks for this Lord's Day, and we thank you that we can come together now to bring you our worship. Lord, we rejoice in the God that you are. We praise you for the work that you do within the hearts of your people. We thank you, Lord, that in your mercy you do not leave us in our sin and in our hopelessness, but you have provided salvation in your own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the great Savior that he is. We praise you, Lord, that in him there is forgiveness for all our sins. We thank you, Lord, that he is the one who is perfect in every way. We thank you for his obedience and for the way in which he served you when he was in this world. And we give thanks for every piece of knowledge that we have from the scriptures about our Lord Jesus. We praise you for those gospels that you've given to us, telling us of the words and works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we know that you delighted in him, and we know that he is the pattern that you want to see established in us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will put that desire in our hearts, that we would want to be like your Son. We pray that you will help us now in this time of evening worship. We give thanks for the scriptures that we have. We thank you, Lord, that your words are often very clear and plain as to what you're saying to us. And we pray, O God, that you would give us hearts that are responsive to the things that you say in your word. Lord, forgive us our sins. Help us now as we seek to worship you, our Lord and God. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, let us read from God's word. I'm going to read several places in the New Testament scriptures, beginning with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, and reading from the beginning of that chapter, this is the word of God. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And then turning over to Hebrews, chapter 5 of Hebrews, and just reading a few verses at the end of Hebrews 5 and into the start of Hebrews 6. Hebrews 5 at verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And then in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 of 2 Peter, Second Peter chapter 1, and reading at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And finally, the last couple of verses of 2 Peter chapter 3. So 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So reads God's own true word. We pray for his blessing upon these scriptures. Let us sing to his praise. We sing from the very first psalm in the Psalter, the A version of Psalm 1. And we sing this to the tune St. Petersburg, number 268. Psalm 1 speaks about the godly person being like a tree, not just like a tree, it's a growing tree, well planted by the waterside, a tree which in its season bears its fruit, a tree which has a leaf which does not fade. And it says that in everything that this man does, he'll surely prosper in that cause. And this is a picture of growth, a picture of fruitfulness, a picture of stability. And this is the work, the good work of God in those whom he saves. We sing praise to him, the words of Psalm 1a, singing the three stanzas to the tune St. Petersburg, number 268. And we stand as we sing praise to God.
Our blessed Lord,
I want to speak this evening on the subject of Christian growth. And I want to do so just based on a few words of the Apostle Peter. And these words are in the last verse of 2 Peter chapter 3. And God gives a command to us there. It says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." God commands us that we are to grow. We are to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Whenever children are young, they like to follow the progress of their height and to see at different stages how far up the height chart they get. And but then you get to a stage where you stop getting any taller. And I was speaking to a former one of the men who belonged to the Wishaw congregation, who was over last Sabbath and was in Ballylagan, and he was saying that every time he meets his mother, she seems to be a bit shorter than she was the last time. So you start off in life and you're going up the scale, and then you're kind of stuck there, and then you start to come back down again. You don't have to command children to grow. It just kind of happens. If you feed them, they'll grow. But what about Christians? Is Christian growth something that is possible beyond the early stages of a person coming to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here the Apostle Peter is giving a command, and it's addressed to all who are believers. We're all commanded, whatever age we're at, whatever stage in life we're at, no matter how long we have been believers, we are commanded that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The previous verse warns of the danger of falling from a position of steadfastness and being led away with the error of the wicked. And the way to avoid that is to be growing, to be positively growing in the faith. So I want to speak first of all about growth commanded. The living God, through his apostle Peter, gives this command that we are to grow. It's not a suggestion, it's not an option, it's a command. And earlier in his letter, in the first chapter, Peter had written about growing in faith, and he had written about the various different things that are involved in growing in faith, different things that need to be in the mix in order that your faith will be the right kind of faith. And at the end of his letter, the second letter, then he comes back to this theme of growing as a Christian. Now, the only people who can grow are those who are alive. Dead people do not grow. And Peter is writing to people who have been made alive by the Spirit of God. And you cannot grow as a Christian unless you first of all become a Christian. But if you have become a Christian, if you are believing in Jesus and following him, then you are commanded to grow. And Peter mentions two ways in which Christians are to grow. First of all, he says that we are to grow in the grace of Christ. We're commanded to grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To grow in grace is a good thing. Growth and progress in the Christian life come by the grace of Christ. Growth and progress are granted by him. Christians are not self-born. We don't make ourselves Christians. We are saved by our Savior. And we don't grow through our own ability, but it is through Christ working in us by His Spirit that we grow. And yet we are commanded to grow. God tells us that we are to grow. And apart from the work of Christ, we cannot grow. But Christ will work in all of those people whom He saves. Where He gives life, He also gives growth. The commentator Mark Johnson mentions two ways in which the Bible uses the term grace that are significant in terms of growing in the grace of Christ. He refers to Hebrews 4, verse 16, which says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And the word grace there is used in the sense of divine energy or power. And we need that strength of God, that grace of Christ. Paul, the apostle, wrote about how he could do all things, not through his own strength, but through Christ who strengthened him. So we need to grow in the grace of Christ, in the sense of we need the power and energy of Christ. We need to find grace to help in time of need. And then the other verse that Mark Johnson refers to is John 1, verse 14. It says there, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was full of the character of God. There was a supreme graciousness about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians are called upon to grow in our likeness to the Lord Jesus. We are to grow in the grace of Christ. As He is gracious, so we are to grow in being gracious. So to grow in the grace of Christ is to grow in all the things that are true of our Lord Jesus Christ. To grow in the grace of Christ is to grow in holiness. It's to grow in terms of those things that are described as the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're to grow in all of those things. And in doing so, we'll be growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the things that God wants to see more and more and more of in His saved people. These are the things that the world around us needs to see in us. And these are the things that our Heavenly Father loves to see in us. Parents love to see their children growing. And God loves to see His children, His adopted children, growing in the grace of Christ. We are commanded to grow in the grace of Christ. We're not to be content with the way we are at present. We're to desire a greater Christ-likeness. And God commands us that we are to give ourselves to growing, becoming more like Him. We're to grow in the grace of Christ. But Peter also says we are to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We're to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we can think about growing in the knowledge of Christ in two ways. First of all, we can think of it in terms of our understanding. We can grow in our understanding of the Lord Jesus. A young child might come to trust in Christ, but they might not have a great understanding of the Christ that they trust in. And there is much for us to understand about our Lord and Savior. And we're always prone to forgetting things that are important, and we just lose sight of them for a while, and that applies to our thoughts about the Lord Jesus. We need to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is, on the one hand, he is fully God, and on the other hand, he is fully man. He's not any less than fully God, and he's not any less than fully man. We're always to think of him as the Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father. We're to think of him as how he, in terms of how he humbled himself, and how he has been so greatly exalted after humbling himself so low. We're to think and understand the Lord Jesus as being our prophet, our priest, and our king. We are to think of him using all the different pictures that we're given of him in the scriptures. We're to think of him as our mediator. We need a mediator, one who stands between us and God. He is our shepherd. He is the one who guards and keeps us and watches over us and leads us. He is our Savior. He is our deliverer. He is our Lord. He is our master. He is the one. He is our boss. He is the one we serve. He is our Redeemer. He is the one that pays the price to set us free. And he is our elder brother. We are brought into his family, and he is our big brother. And we're to remember the Lord Jesus and understand him as being a fisher of men. He is a seeker of the lost. But we're also to remember him as the judge of all the earth. All of these things and many others are true of the Lord Jesus because the scriptures tell us so. We are to know the Lord Jesus as the one who was a sacrifice for sin, but who is also our great high priest. We are to know him as the one whose work of atonement is finished, but whose work of instruction and whose work of reigning and his work of interceding are still continuing. We're to know him as the one who sits to rule and whose atoning work is done, but he's also the one who stands. He stands to receive the martyr Stephen into heaven, and he stands to act as the advocate of his people. There's so much for us to remember and to understand about the Lord Jesus. There's always plenty of scope for growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just in terms of understanding all that he truly is. So we can grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in terms of our understanding of our Lord and Savior. But then also we can grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in terms of our relationship with him. We're not just to know about the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to know about the Lord Jesus. It's a great thing to have a proper understanding of who he really is. We're not just to know about him, we are to know him. To have a personal knowledge of him. We are to live life in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to grow in that relationship. We're to grow closer to the Lord Jesus. We're to grow in our love for him, in our affection towards him. We're to grow in our faithfulness to him. The thought of letting him down should be something that troubles us more and more. We're to grow in our thoughts towards the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be more and more in our thoughts rather than getting squeezed out by all the other things we need to think about. Jesus is to mean more and more to us, and that is growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this, throughout life, there is always plenty of scope for growth. It's not that we're ever going to be hemmed in and there's no room for us to grow. We are commanded to grow in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God commands that of us. This is our life's work. This is what he wants us to be doing. He wants to see growth in us. He doesn't want to see us at a standstill. He doesn't want to see us stagnant. He wants to see us growing. So how do we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's easy to see that we are commanded to grow, but how do we grow? Well, we need to realize that what applies in other situations in life applies here also. We need to believe that it is God who gives the growth. That's the case in everything. It's always God who gives the growth. And God gives the growth according to the way God has appointed. And that is the bottom line. Paul talks about how one sows and another waters, but it's God that gives the increase. It's God that gives the growth. And yet we know that in life there are things that are favorable to growth, and there are things that will hinder growth. All living things require food in order to grow. And as Christians, we have a need for spiritual food. And we find our spiritual food in the Word of God. We cannot expect to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus unless we're getting spiritual nourishment from the Word of God. We need to be feeding daily upon the Word of God. And we need to give ourselves sufficient time to truly take on board the things that we read in the Scriptures. Unless we absorb the goodness that's there in the Word of God, it's not going to enable us to grow. We need to take time over the Word of God. We also need to be people of prayer if we want to grow. We need to look to God each day for all that we face in life. We need to seek his strength. We need to seek his wisdom, his protection, his steering of us. And we need to seek his fruitfulness and his blessing. And if we're to grow the way that God wants us to grow, we need to realize that our spiritual health is linked to that of others. We don't grow as isolated Christians. We need to be active members of Christ's church, playing our part within the body that is his church. We need to make every use of the opportunities that God gives us for worship, for fellowship, for prayer, for working together in the things of God. We need to be putting into practice together the things that we learn. And we need to be giving as well as receiving. In order to grow as Christians, we need to be willing to learn. There are many different people learn in different ways. And we can learn often from the example of others, real live people, and we see how they seek to serve the Lord Jesus, and we can learn from them. We can also learn from the life stories of those in whom God has worked mightily in the past. We can learn from those who have taken time to write about the things they have learnt in seeking to live the Christian life. To grow as Christians, we need to be willing to learn. We need to be willing to learn from all sorts of sources. God can use all sorts of people to help us to grow in our understanding, and that is something we need to be receptive to. We shouldn't have the mindset that unless someone ticks all of our beliefs, then they have nothing they can teach us. That's not the case at all. If we're to grow in grace, we need rest. If you're to grow physically, you need rest. Sleep is hugely important for growth. Those who sleep best grow best. That's the way it is. And in the spiritual realm, we need a restfulness. We need to have a quiet and restful spirit in order to grow as Christians. You can't grow as a Christian if you're anxious, if you're fretful, if you're always living on edge, or if you're constantly tired. Those things just don't tie in with growing in the grace of Christ. We need rest. If we're to grow spiritually, then we need a degree of self-discipline. It requires self-discipline to make the choices that will be good for growth. And it requires self-discipline to say no to things that are appealing but really aren't going to be helpful. In order to grow, there'll be lots of things that we will need to avoid, because those things will not encourage growth, but they will inhibit growth. We need to avoid an over-busyness in life that just doesn't allow time for personal devotions and doesn't allow time for church involvement. We also need to avoid an unhealthy isolationism where we cut ourselves off from the good that we could do for others. And we see that as something that is a good thing, in that we are making sure we take time for the things of God, but we're not doing any good for anyone else. What we need to avoid will vary greatly from person to person. And what we need to avoid varies according to the stage of life that you're at. It's never a matter of avoiding things in order to see that as an achievement or as an end in itself. It's only profitable if it's done with a view to growing in the grace of Christ. So that's something about how to grow. There are many different elements that are important in pursuing spiritual growth, but we are commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Final thing I want to say is just a little bit about assessing growth. It's easy when you're a child growing up to assess your growth. You just stand against the wall and you get the pencil marked on the wall, and you can see how much you've grown in the last 6 months. It's a different thing in terms of growing in the Christian faith. We know that God commands us to grow. We know that there are things that will promote growth, and we know that there are things that will hinder growth. But what we don't always know is whether we actually are growing or not. How can we assess whether we really actually are growing as Christians or not? That's an important matter. And it's a matter in which there is a danger of becoming too self-obsessed. God doesn't want us to become people who are utterly self-centered in our self-examination. We're always looking at ourselves and measuring ourselves one way or another. That can all be simply for our own sense of satisfaction, that we might feel good about ourselves. The proper goal of growing in grace is not self-satisfaction, but it is bringing glory to the Lord. That's how Peter finishes his letter. We're commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is to him that the glory is to go, both now and forever. We're not to grow so that we will be praised. We're not to grow so that honor will come to us. The glory, the honor is to go to him. But we are commanded to grow. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones writes about the matter of assessing spiritual growth, and he outlines a few negative tests and a few positive ones. Some things that we should be moving away from, and others which are the marks of advancing in maturity. And among the things that he mentions as being characteristics that we should be moving away from, he mentions these. Instability. If you're an unstable person, that's not a good thing. The Lord Jesus wasn't an unstable person. He was solid and reliable. And instability is a thing that we want to move away from. He mentions exhibitionism, where we're too eager and too keen to draw attention to ourselves. That's something that we need to repent of, and we need to avoid that. He mentions that we need to move away from being people who are more interested in experiences than relationships. Experiences are a me thing. Relationships are a giving and receiving thing. Relationships are all important. Relationships hugely important within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Within the Church of Christ, relationships really matter. Relationships matter more than experiences. Maturity leads you in that direction. He also mentions being more interested in gifts than graces. That's a bad thing. It's more important to be interested in the graces rather than in the gifts. The gifts can draw attention to us. The graces point others to Christ. So these are things that we should be moving away from. And we can gauge to some extent whether we're going forward or whether we're going backward in these kind of things. Then on the other hand, there are things which, if they are increasing, are an evidence of true Christian growth. And four things he mentions in this. First of all, an increasing sense of my own sinfulness and unworthiness. Do you see yourself now? Do you understand yourself now to be a greater sinner than you realized you were whenever you became a Christian, if you have become a Christian? That is a sign of progress, increasing sense of our sinfulness and our unworthiness. growth in the Christian faith, Christ increases in our thinking and we decrease in our thinking. We think more of him, more highly of him, and less highly of ourselves. Another indicator of spiritual growth is a diminishing desire for the things of this world. Do you see any of that in yourself? Do you see ways in which the things of this world just don't mean the same to you now as they used to? Things used to be important to you, but now you hold lightly to things. And it's no big issue if you lose some of those things. That's a good sign. The third thing he mentions, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, he mentions a growing sense of grief at the state of this world. Is that a factor in your thinking as you see what's happening in the world in different ways? Is there a growing sense of grief at the state of this world? Do you think more and more, this is not God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven? And do you have a desire that God would be honored more than we see him honored in this world? And the fourth thing he mentions as an evidence of true Christian growth is an increasing love for the Lord. An increasing love for the Lord Jesus, increasing appreciation of all that he has done for us. That's a good thing. That's a sign of progress, advancing in grace. We are commanded to grow, and there are ways by which we can seek to assess whether we are actually getting anywhere. But always, it is God who gives the growth. And when you were young, there were probably frustrating times when you got left behind, and maybe there were others in your class, and they were growing, and you just didn't seem to be growing at all. And then maybe the time came when you started to catch up again. And in our childhood, there are growth spurts. And so it can be with spiritual growth as well. God sends seasons into our lives where he brings us forward in the things of God. And sometimes within a short period of time, God accomplishes far more in our lives than has been accomplished over years and years and years. There can be seemingly barren times, but also there can be seasons of great fruitfulness. I was preaching recently about Moses and how Moses had 40 years looking after sheep, and nothing much seemed to be happening in his life at all. And then suddenly God appeared to him in the burning bush, and Moses' life was turned around, and God used him in a mighty way, and there was growth and progress, and he got things wrong, but he learned from his mistakes, and he made progress in the things of God. God commands us that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that we need to pray for. We need to pray that God will enable us to grow, that he would send that growth, and that growth would be for our good, and that growth would be for his glory. We need to look to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to pray that we will grow as he has commanded us that we must grow. God says, you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't want to see you in the future the way you are now. God says, I want you to grow. And for all of us, there's plenty of room for us to grow. Christian growth is commanded by God. Amen. Well, let us speak to God now in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks that you're the God who speaks clearly to us in your word. And we acknowledge this command of yours that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We recognize that you can only do that if he is our Lord and Savior. And so we pray that will be a reality for all of us, that we will not be little gods unto ourselves, but that he will be our Lord and he will be our Savior. And he would be the one that we're trusting in and seeking to serve. And Lord, we pray that you will work in our hearts, that we will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray that will be something that will be for our good, that it will be for the good of others, and that it will be ultimately for your glory, that it will be seen that this is the Lord's doing. We give thanks, O God, for today. We thank you for this Lord's Day, for the opportunities that we have had to worship you, to think about the things that you have put in the Scriptures. Give thanks for the ministry of Edward McCollum earlier in the day. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to remember your truth and seek to live by that truth. We pray, Lord, for the presbytery meeting that is coming up in a few days' time, and we pray for the petition from this congregation for permission to call a minister. We pray that the presbytery will agree to that, and we pray for your leading and guiding in the weeks and months to come. We pray, O Lord, that there will be a oneness of mind within the congregation, that you would lead your people in a particular direction. And Lord, we pray for progress in that matter. And we ask that you would be at work in these times. And we give thanks for those who come week by week to take the services. We pray for next Lord's Day. We thank you for a special occasion with the senior camp young ones being here again. We pray for Peter Lockridge as he brings your word next Lord's Day, and we ask for your blessing upon him. And we pray that it will be an encouragement to the congregation, seeing all the young folk gathering in that have been at Camp Reunion. We do pray for your mercy towards Jean. We pray that you'll grant her recovery, that you would renew her health, and we pray that soon she'll be well enough to be out of hospital. Pray for Alan in the effect that all has upon him. We ask, Lord, for your ongoing work of healing for Alan Henry, and we pray, Lord, for your mercies there. We pray for folk in the congregation dealing with long-term illnesses and things that are hard to live with and hard to cope with, and we pray, Lord, for your mercy and compassion on a daily basis. May your grace be sufficient for each day that people have to face. We give thanks for the ordination of deacons that's coming up later this month, and pray for Richard and Daniel. You help them as they soon enter into that office within the church, and pray that they will be able to serve well and be a blessing to many as they undertake that work. We look to you, Lord, for provision of men for ministry. We pray for for these coming months. We pray that there will be, across the different presbyteries of our church, that there will be men who will be taken under care of presbytery for training at the theological college, preparation for future ministry. We pray, O God, that you would call clearly, and we pray that different presbyteries will see clearly the working of God in this. Lord, you know the needs within this denomination, the present eight vacancies and soon another one coming soon. And Lord, we look to you to provide many men who will serve as future ministers and missionaries. And we pray that the abundance, Lord, if your answer in response to these prayers would result in great praise to you. We pray that you will sustain those who are presently serving as ministers. And we ask, Lord, that you'll give the strength to to keep going. And Lord, we pray that you would clearly raise up others and put that desire into men's hearts and call them clearly so that they know that it's not some notion within themselves. It's not something that would please others, but it's something that they feel compelled of God to do. Lord, we look to you and we ask that you will work powerfully in this congregation of your people. Pray for the meeting on Wednesday, that will be an encouraging time. We pray that you will help in all the different aspects of the work. We pray for your blessing upon Sabbath school, upon CY, upon midweek meetings and prayer times and worship services. Lord, may you be at work, and we pray that you will be doing new things, and that you'll be causing new life and new fruitfulness to spring up in lots of different places. Lord, we look to you because you're the one who gives the increase, and you're the one who is to be praised. Receive our thanks and hear our prayers now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing to God's praise from Psalm 84, the B version, and singing stanzas 4 to 6. 84B. Stanza 4, it says, "Advancing still from strength to strength, they go where other pilgrims trod, till each to Zion comes at length and stands before the face of God." Progress in the things of God, advancing still from strength to strength. And this is what we're called to, and this is what we're commanded to do, to grow in the grace of God. And we're assured that the Lord, stanza 6, the Lord will grace and glory give. And because he will do it, we can have confidence that we will see it happening. So 84B, singing 4 to 6, the tune is Melita, number 264. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction.
Oh.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.